Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very, very excited. Today is the getting the week started for the shows, at least. My week starts with them on Tuesdays, although next Monday we have a show. But that was before we made the new schedule. Anyhow, I'm very, very excited about today's guest. She is... phenomenal musician. She's just, I've been looking at her website and whatnot and social media links and what have you. She's just really, really, she has 10, cool turned up to 10. She's very, very cool. Renee, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much, Jamie. I'm doing really well. Yeah, it's an honor
excellent.
To be on.
Oh, no, the honor. The honor is all mine. I'm, you're classing the joint up around here. It's pretty cool. Hey, I wanted to ask you, are you, I know that all of your stuff says, greater San Francisco. Are you in San Francisco now or are you in Southern California now?
No, I'm actually in France on the border with Geneva, Switzerland.
Oh.
This is, I'm at my mom's house. It's actually, I'm sort of doing a residency. I'm working, here, and I'm just, enjoying life every day, going to the lake still. It's freezing. It's like 10 degrees Celsius, but I jump in and I see the Mont Blanc, and I writing and making music and just, enjoying this time.
Nice.
So, before I go back to my, technically my base, so.
I gotcha.
In the San Francisco Bay Area, in the East Bay, in El Sobrante, a little the leftovers, the literal translation from Spanish. It's
nice.
A little town. So yeah.
Nice. But it's not bad being in France, though. That's pretty cool. And,
it's awesome.
Yeah, that's good work if you can get it. I had a residency with my father. And his factories, I called it slavery though. No, I'm teasing. It wasn't, wasn't that bad, but it was pretty bad. That's actually why I started working as a kid. I would ask him, I'm like, Dad, I need 20 bucks or something. And, and then he, okay, well, we've got 3 or 4 days of work you can do. I'm like, geez, that's like prison wages, man. This is terrible. He's like, well, go get a job. So I did, What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a – I'm sure your mom's a lot nicer. My dad was all right. But
no, my mom's awesome, but she's exigeant, as you say in French. She's quite demanding, but in a good way. She keeps me on my toes.
Aren't all French women kind of like that? Just in my experience.
French culturally speaking? That's a good question. Do the French keep you on your toes? Well, they're very proud of their culture and, rightfully so. And
that's true.
Usually really educated about, everything that's going on in the world. So I'd say probably, yeah.
My first time going to France, I remember distinctly. I was when I got there and I went to a couple people and went to some parties and this and that. And one of the things I noticed, in the States here, people find out because I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I paint pictures of people. And I, in the States, people find out that and they're like, oh God, hide the silverware, geez. In France, it's totally different. It's like when they find that out, it's like you're a doctor or something. I mean, it's prestigious. I'm like, yeah, This is fantastic.
Yeah, there's a different, there's definitely a different level of appreciation for the arts. Not only, you know, I'm not saying that people don't appreciate the arts in the States, but here it's actually government funded. So many things are government funded that aren't. I mean, just on the music side, I don't know so much about the art side, but I know obviously there's just a whole history there and so many museums. And I mean, there's so many art galleries everywhere, but on the music side, like all summer, there are free concerts everywhere. And you know those musicians are getting paid. I mean, maybe not lots and lots of money, but it's something. You know, they're compensated for their time, and this is all, you know, government subsidized. So it's really, it's awesome. And that's, you know, Europe-wide, I think.
Right.
But France, yeah, definitely France, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So tell us a little bit about your background and whatnot.
Sure.
We're going to play a single here in a little bit, but I want people to get to know Renee. Tell us a little bit about the woman behind the myth, the legend.
Yeah, well... Well, I was born in the States, in New Jersey, to Bolivian dad and Dutch mom, though she's culturally speaking French, because she's lived in France most of her life and schooled in French, et cetera. But, I actually moved to France when I was an adolescent, and I went through high school and middle school here. Then I've been back and forth since then, you know, doing studies and did master's in public health, and I've been working on the field on different research projects in South America, Central America, written songs about, you know, insects that transmit diseases to just simple love songs. I'm a songwriter, and I, you know, now at this point, I'm just dedicating myself to music, and I'm contracting out. But I've decided that this is really something that, you can't deny it. Like I've been writing songs since I was 12, and my first memories are of singing, and, you know, I never thought, like, you know, I always thought in my head that I needed to do something else besides be a singer, songwriter, artist. Like, I thought that that wasn't good enough. And now, after 15 years of, like, literally just working it, like, honing my craft, and I'm not saying I'm, like, all the way there yet. No, I've got so far to go, but that's a blessing. You know, I feel like I'm just at the tip of the iceberg. But it's not easy, and I feel like it's actually, at this point, I've come to realize that it's my duty to try my best in this. Because otherwise, I'm giving up this. It's a gift, you know. Not everybody has the opportunity to fully delve into that gift, if you know what I mean. Like in terms of just life circumstance, you know. So I feel really blessed, and like every day, I'm just like, yeah, that's just where I'm at, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
that's cool. And to realize that, you know, and to realize that a lot of people don't. And it is, you know, I talk to people. I know I'm at that point in life where I'm getting a little bit down the road. You know, there's probably more behind me than in front of me. Or maybe it's
I don't know. Don't say that. You don't know.
Well, you know, it's very true. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. No, but the thing is,
exactly.
You know,
that's
this
is true for everybody, right? Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Go for it.
Well, it takes people a minute sometimes to get to that understanding where you're at. You know, yes, you're here, and you figured out why, and you know you have to do that now. You have to answer that artistic call. You know, I know people, bless their heart, 70 years old that haven't figured that out yet. And I hope they do. You know, it's so important. It's so important. And, you know, it Beethoven could have got, sidelined with life, you know? I mean, and he kind of did if you look at his life. But I mean, you still have to sit at that piano. You know what I mean? It's just part of it. or your guitar, or in front of your canvas, or what have you. And you know,
or your garden,
or your garden, or your family, or your kitchen, you know, whatever it is that gets your wheels going. And I see people sometimes, you know, floundering a little bit, and they're like, you know, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do, and blah, blah, blah. Well, figure that stuff out, because the reality is, and not to sound morbid or anything like that, you know, it's, as far as I know, kind of a limited time, you know, there's only a certain window of opportunity here. And if you, like you were saying, if you happen to have opportunities or see opportunities happen to come your way, yeah, seize those, man. That's a gift from the universe, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't, the universe just might stop sending them. So jump on that.
Or you just might become desensitized and not realize that they're there anymore. I don't think the universe will ever stop sending. You know, it's more, have you closed yourself off to it? And I think that's really, you know, what's happening to people who may perhaps find themselves, as you said, like floundering. It's there's so much distraction in our lives that kind of give us the opportunity in very short spurts to sort of satisfy our need to create, you know, or by living through other people's paths, you know, like media wise, for example. Like, you sit and you watch a TV series. I mean, you're literally living in that, and that I'm not saying it's bad, but there does come a point where it's like, you're not living your life anymore. You're living this script. And, you know, I feel like we're all subject to that. And then it gets confusing, because you're almost, you don't know who you are anymore, because you have all these scripts in your head that aren't yours.
Yep.
So
it's so true. I got sucked into about a year ago. I was, you know, we have all these streaming things up to our TV, and I got sucked into this show about these people that were just doing horrible strip mining in Alaska, looking for gold or whatever. And I sat there for about 2 days watching this, you know, and man, I was into it, you know. I mean, it was definitely a suite that might have been fine after dinner, but not just a full diet of it, you know. It was terrible. And I realized that for some reason, I was just sitting there and I had this epiphany. I'm like, I have wasted 2 days watching people work, you know, and in a scripted format. It's probably not even real work. It's just what I've sat here for 2 days and I've gotten nothing done. And then I started thinking in my head, how many paintings could I have gotten through or started, or, you know, and then I turned that TV off. You know, I just, you're absolutely right. People get sucked into it because it's easy and it's convenient and it's right there.
And we're human. I mean, we go for what's going to bring us immediate comfort. I mean, that's, in a sense, you can't, everybody does it, you know. And I you know, I kind of, when I was a little younger, like, I was so anti, like, TV and anti, like, I was much, it's interesting because I've become more lax as I've gotten, like, through time, in terms of everything. And it's just, because the thing is, if you're too rigid, you can't relate to anybody or anything, because nobody's perfect. I mean, there's not as, you know, you just, and then you actually, because it's impossible for yourself, you don't like yourself, because you can't even come even close to, you know, I'm getting all philosophical here, maybe off on a tangent, but I mean,
it's fascinating.
So,
I could totally understand.
So I try.
That happened.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No. I was just saying, I try to, if I can, in each day that I have, do some, like, satisfy some piece of each, because we're human. We need to take care of our basic necessities, right? From sleeping to eating, you know, whatever you need to keep yourself healthy. But then you also have your purpose, right? And your work. And if I try not to get down on myself if I'm not doing as much as I can, by just constantly saying, if you're doing something, even if it's small, even if it's only writing one page, You know, that's okay. That's good. You did it.
Right.
You know, instead of being so harsh, like, oh man, oh, I didn't do my handstand training today. I'm never gonna accomplish it. You know, what an idiot or whatever. You know, just making oneself feel guilty when it's like, no, you know, hey, if I'm blessed to live till tomorrow, just do it tomorrow. You know, or you know, maybe you needed rest or something. Anyway, that's what I was gonna say.
No, it's very true.
Yeah,
very
but...
true.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L-A-P-O-T-H-I-C-A-I-R-E-U-N-I-Q-U-E. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
And people get used to that, and people start to crave that drive. That, and I'm not saying you should just be a layabout and do nothing in life. Nothing's going to get done if you do that. If that's your thing, hey, well, you know, that's what's going to happen. But
maybe you're a
big
thinker,
trying to accomplish
goals. Sorry.
Say again.
Yeah. No, maybe the thing is about this thing about this perception that laying around is actually laziness. Actually, it's not. It's like
right.
So much is happening, like when you're just literally just thinking and relaxing and trying to clear your mind. I mean, just on a biological level, allowing yourself to do that is actually really important. This is something I'm just learning, like because I tend to be a person that go, 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 go. And I've realized, like, in the past year, I would say year to 2 years, where I've been placed under some harsh stress that if I can't just sit and just try to clear my thoughts and just not do anything at all, I can't,
right.
I'm not able to do anything else. Anyway, yeah. So,
well, I have found
like
if
saying.
You do that, yeah. It helps with your creativity. I think so often, I mean, I've told this to my gal, Danny, my fiance, you know, I'll have an idea. I'll have the beginnings of an idea for a painting, and I'm not there yet. I haven't put it together in my head, because I'm one of those people, everybody has their different processes. My personal thing is I have everything already planned out before I even start painting a painting. And a lot of people are like, oh, you don't just let it fly. No, I can't. That drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, but everybody's different. But I've told her oftentimes, and this happens all the time, actually, is I have the idea for a painting and I'll say, sweetie, I need to go get me up in an hour and 15 minutes or something. I need to take a nap. And she's like,
yeah.
What's that about? Well, she used to. Now she knows that this is part of the process. And what it is
yeah.
I'm letting my brain, I don't know, defrag or whatever, you know, like
reset
itself. And then I wake up and everything's figured out, you know.
Wow.
You know, I don't know. And for me, that's what works. And that's, people make fun of me all the time. They're like, oh, man, you get up, I see you posting on Facebook or Instagram or something, you know, 4 o'clock. I'm like, yes, I do that because the phone isn't ringing and the
yeah.
house is quiet. I'm the only one up and I can get stuff
yeah,
done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
So you go to bed and then you wake up in the middle of the night and you paint?
Sometimes I'm more of an early morning painter. I like painting at 3 or 4 in the morning. Yeah, I get up early
wow.
and I'm an old man, you know, my brain is fresh then, and I'm not thinking, I haven't looked at Twitter yet, I'm not worried about, you know, nuclear annihilation of the day or whatever, you know, just blissfully quiet, I can get stuff done,
right.
But, you know,
yeah.
that's my life, but no, you're right,
wow.
you know, you get wrapped up into behavior and whatnot. I was really bad, man, I got on the social justice kick bad, too much, I would say, about, you know, a couple years ago, after the election and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just on it. And I in retrospect, finally, Danny, my gal, sat me down and she said, man, I don't know what you need to do, if you need to start a political podcast or something, but you are not very much fun to be around, because it's just, that's
yeah.
the top of conversation. And how everybody's stupid
right.
and world's going to hell in a handbag. You know, and she goes, it's just nonstop.
Right.
And so
yeah.
I listened to what she said. Well, at first I was immediately offended, you know, for 10 minutes or so. And then I thought about what she said. And I just, you know, I kind of cooled it for a little bit. And then that, it was weird, as chance would have it. Man, the universe always seems to back her up whenever we have a disagreement. That's another weird thing. We went to a party and I ran into somebody who was worse than me. That was just, I was like, oh God, I'm like this guy. Oh, you know, so I got some perspective and I still feel very passionately about, injustice
yeah.
and, you know, the Amazon burning and, you know, I think these are important
yeah.
things.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess shouting in people's face about it, I've learned a better way to kind of communicate that is what I found,
right.
had to, you know, because
yeah, yeah.
shouting wasn't working. You know,
right.
annoying everybody. But,
yeah.
you know, that's my personal little thing. But again, what works for me, let me just preface this to listeners and whatnot, may not work for you. But, you know, find your path. I think that's what
yeah,
Renee
find your
is
path,
saying.
Find your sense of peace. That's the thing. I
yeah.
feel like with all this chaos around, if we can't, you know, and I say this, and like if my mom is listening, she's going to be like, you know, laughing at me because I've just been going through some stressful times, and I've been kind of like hermitizing myself purposely
gotcha.
Because I'm just hermitizing. I just made up that word, like becoming a hermit. for like purposely quarantining myself because I know I'm just not, I'm not ready to, I, you know, I can be my 100% for others, a small percentage of the time. But other than that, I'm working on finding my peace so that I can be that way because just of, you know, various things like what you're saying, you know, just there, what's going on in the world, that the Amazon is burning. I mean, when I found that out, I and it's still happening, like it makes me nauseous. I it makes me like want to cry, you know, it just, it's
because you're an artist and you have, you know, and logic and, you know, a functioning brain.
Yeah. But the thing is that having those deep feelings is beautiful, but if you let them consume you so that you are consumed and
paralyzed.
You cannot do, you can't, yeah, you're paralyzed. What's the point? I mean, so to find some way, as you said, to transform that energy into something positive, you know, that can be emitted, like, well, for me it's writing songs, you know, so but yeah,
and you're real good at that too. You know, you mentioned you started writing music at 12, but no,
yeah.
I mean, you've got that down, you know, you're real good at that. You know, I'm telling you, Renee,
it's
listening to
your
music and whatnot, well, I think it's fantastic. You know, if somebody said, hey man, you got to find somebody to write a song quick, I'm like, I know the gal, you know. I've got this.
Awesome.
Get me a phone. Not a problem. But, you know, let me ask you, when you were a little girl, okay, you're 12 years old, you're living in France, you know, going to middle school and whatnot. Did you know you were going to be an entertainer and a music? I mean, did you kind of know that, hey, this is a very good possibility, what I'm going to be doing at, you know, 25?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've always, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I've always entertained, but I never saw it. Like, I would set up, like, so when I was younger, like, I'm talking like 7, 8 years old or even before then, like, when my parents would have parties, because so my dad's Bolivian, and he, you know, my parents actually, when we were in New Jersey, you know, they had a whole group of Latin American, like, it was like, you know, Bolivians, Argentinians, Chileans, anyway, we would all get together and we all, like, they all had kids, and I would literally make everybody sit down, and I would put on dance shows, plays, like, you know, and everybody had to participate, you know. But the thing is, it was never, for me, I always wanted to sing. I always was singing, but I never perceived it as the thing that I was going to do, you know, in terms of my quote-unquote profession, because I think it's too close to me to think I was going to monetize that, you know. Like I think that because, you know, in terms of what I was exposed to too, you know, just differences between Bolivia and Europe and the States and like just the stark inequality that existed. I could not, this hierarchy that you have to rise to make this possible. It seemed like contradiction to me. And I think that's why, you know, I know that sounds very profound for some little 12-year-old to be thinking. I think ultimately, I grew into that understanding, you know, consciously, and then now I am like able to realize that's the way the world is. And if you want to do something, you have to recognize that you're not just, you know, you are embedded in this world, and that's part of it. So I'm embracing that necessity at this point to monetize this skill, you know, and this, you know, so to say that, no, I never, ever saw myself at that time, you know, on stage or like making money off of this. No, I just literally just was always driven to sing and write songs. And like, that's just part
of
it, you know? Yeah. So.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring, it's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
Well, it comes from a place of
artisticness, you know, and that's not a word either, but, artisticness is what I was trying to get away with. Not even a word, but yes, but being an artist, you know, I mean, and I don't throw around the word artist a lot, just because I think a lot of people do. And I don't think you have to struggle to be an artist, you know. But someone who's passionate about their work is my definition of an artist. Passionate and takes that passion to action. I could really like the Spice Girls, but until I start, you know, it's a terrible analogy. But it comes through in your music. You know, there's a you're very good technically also. I was not that I'm an expert in that, but that I've heard good music and I've heard bad. Your music is very put together. You know, obviously this was made by somebody who knows what the heck they're doing when I hear it. And I know that's not just something that happens either. You know, there has to be some journey behind it.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Like the thing is, the way I hear music is so different from the way other people hear music. And that's actually, it's been my pursuit to make things that people like for a while, you know, because and for years, the thing is when you're writing something and it sounds good to you, it's not necessarily what everybody's going to like. And I battle with that every single time that I put pen to paper and notes down and sing things. I mean, you don't even want to know how many times, like, oh my God, I'll rewrite something so many times at this point. Whereas initially I would just freestyle something and consider it finished, you know? And nope, that's the song. Nope. And then learning that actually, you know, okay, sometimes that works. Sometimes things come out in the first take, and those are amazing, amazing ideas, you know? But most of the time you have to work it, you know,
right.
it's You know,
you have
to listen to it over and over again. Yeah.
Like in your instance, people just hear the finished track, you know, and they're like, oh,
right,
well,
right.
She just knocked that out last night. You know, had a couple of free hours and turn that TV off and boom, here's a hit song. Or here's a great piece of music. And what they don't realize is, you know, once for my, I'll give you an example with my paintings, and I paint a lot. I paint 200-300 paintings a year.
Wow.
I would say maybe one out of 100 is like just flows and it's boom right there. An hour and a half later, we're done. On to the next.
Yeah.
Maybe one out of 150. You know, maybe a couple times.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm ready to throw a canvas in the street and jump up and down on it. You know, it's like me. And the path works. It should be working. And it's just, it is, and I don't know why, you know, that happens a lot, you know, but you can't give up. You gotta,
I know what you mean. Yeah. I mean, it'll literally keep me awake at night. I can't sleep. If something is not coming out right, like I'm just burning, trying to sleep, but my body's all hot and I just can't sleep. Like I'm just literally just lying there and I know I have to sleep. But I can't, you know, and until I find, like, it's weird. It's like, it's as if I'm in labor or something. I mean, it's
at the end, you have to get it out.
It's,
you have to get it on the canvas,
you know? Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it's just going to, you know, tear at you.
You know, Renee, I'm so glad to hear that because I have had mentors and people I look up to and people that are, you know, way smarter and got it together more than me. And, you know, we'll be talking and they're like, oh, well, when you get to that point, you just walk away and work on something else maybe for a little while. I'm like, internally I'm going, I ain't that evolved, man. They're on a whole level that I haven't achieved because I can't do that. I'm like you. I'm like, no, this is getting done. Somebody's going to win this fight.
It's interesting you say that, though, because the thing is, like, more recently, and I'm saying, like, maybe in the past 2 years, I have been able to do that. But I walk away, but it doesn't mean I'm walking away. I'm not coming back. But because I have, like, at this point, like, I have, like, a whole library of things that are in process because of that. You know, because I'm like, no, can't finish it now. No, okay, okay, need to work on something else. Like literally, like coming back full circle. And then oftentimes the end product is completely different. I don't know if you're the type of painter where I've seen painters that literally they'll paint something and it's beautiful. And I think it's beautiful. And then there's something that's just slightly off about the symmetry. So they'll literally erase everything by just putting another layer over it, and they'll start all over again. The same idea, but with a slight difference to it. Like,
I've done it.
Anyway. Yeah.
I've done it. I have even to the point, and this is terrible. Danny finally cured me of this. This has happened a couple of times where I've done a commission, you know, somebody's hired me to paint something and, you know, I do it, send it off and they're just happy. They're so thrilled with it. I think it looks terrible and it bothers me, you know? So I repaint the thing and send that to them and say, hey, that wasn't my best. Here is a better version of that. And, you know, I've had people get mad when I do that. Like, why would you? I was happy. Everybody loves the first one. The second one, we're not seeing it, you know. I've done that.
Interesting.
I look at my old paintings I painted, you know, and like anybody, everybody's had a journey they've walked and, you know, ups and downs and different periods and things going on. And I can definitely tell, oh, that was the party years. Those paintings were terrible. And I wanted to go back and redo them. And everybody's like, no, just new stuff now, you know, you got to do that. So it's good to crazy world. It's a crazy. So music.
Yeah.
So you also produce in addition to running your own stuff.
So let me first be clear though about one thing. The single that I'm releasing right now was co-produced. So that's actually my first time that I'm working with other producers. In addition to me, there's a story behind that. So the thing, so just to clear that, but everything that you've heard, if you've, hopefully that's not the only thing you listen to, but there are,
I went to the Renee rabbit hole.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I was watching everything on YouTube and.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, that's the thing. Like, it's been a journey for me. Like so my first instrument is voice, right? And then I would say my first, second instrument would be guitar, because basically, even though I picked up like some bass before I started guitar, because bass just captures me. I'm no virtuoso musician. I play enough to compose. That's it. I'm not going to be the one up on stage doing a solo. You know, I can imagine notes for nice little melody lines and everything and play them enough to record them. But the only things that I play live are basically guitar and vocal. But I basically picked up enough tools instrumentally wise along the way to bring the songs to life. All the engineering skills I've picked up, everything is literally just so that I can be self-sufficient when it comes to bringing the songs to life. I mean, everything that I've learned has been to that purpose. And it's funny because now that I have kind of come to a certain level of skill, I'm not saying like, I'm not even, you know, I'm getting closer and I still need to do a lot. But I'm actually meeting other producers that I can now really easily collaborate with, because I can just send them files and the files are, you know, the vocals are well recorded. They're well edited. Everything's all they have to do is just compliment it or, you know what I mean? Like, whereas, you know, so that the ideas that I'm able to express myself more, say, I don't know, 10 years ago, where, you know, you start working with a bunch of quote unquote virtuoso musicians, and then your song is no longer your song. It's basically showing off the chops of the guitar player and the drummer. Right. And like, it's, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but when you're going through that, I know that I would prioritize the musicians over my song and my voice. So all my my first productions, where I was working with studio musicians and, not first writing everything and then having them perform it, which is what I transitioned to, and then, you know, moved on to making things more in the box, which is what I'm doing now. Which means, digital, digitally. Does that make sense? but I realized that when I listen to that music, is that it's some nice music, but that I did not do the most important thing justice, which was the voice and the song.
Right.
Because I was so focused on my weakest points, you know, that I thought that those were the important points, and I had no idea that that little tiny little guitar lick, extra ear candy, whatever, it was distracting. I should have sang that 20 times before laying down the final vocal, instead of just saying, oh, I sang it once. Okay, now let me focus on making sure everything else is good. Right. You know, I was totally inverse of what I should have done. But I learned. And I'm at the point where...
Yeah, like, important for people. And inspiring, for people. I see that, you know, where I see that happen a lot in is friends of mine that DJ for a living. They'll like one particular, you can tell what they like, because they'll go to that all the time, and they won't look at the whole piece, their whole track as a full symphony, you know, as a full piece of music. And then they learn, and it gets better and better, you know. Now, your single, Want to Share, I think it's fantastic. I love this single.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
It's
that
awesome.
Had a journey behind it. Yeah.
Let's play it,
and
then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
Here, because I want to get it in. Here it is, everybody. This is Renee. This is Want to Share. Now, check this out. This is a fantastic single, and we're going to talk about it right after. Check this out.
Night time, I see you in my visions. You in my mind's eye. I keep on keeping to my purpose. You will not pass me by. Someday.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that worked. We're having a little bit of issues here, but I think that worked. And we're back. That was Want to Share by Renee. Renee, I love that track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet.
That's a fantastic
yeah.
track.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Velvet Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's MDMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
It's interesting because you were saying that, you know, starting out on the guitar and whatnot, it has led you to this kind of electronic pop place.
Right, right.
Do you find that interesting, or is it just a natural progression of your music?
Well, the thing is, it's, you know, I love the guitar and everything, but it is a little limiting, actually, because you can fall into certain patterns when it comes to rhythms or chord progressions or, you know, voicings of chords. If you're not like, I'm a pretty good guitar player, rhythm guitar player, but I'm like, as I said, like no virtuoso. So it's not like I'm like doing the inversions of like this chord and that chord. And like, I write by ear. And so your ear tends to hone into, certain patterns, right? And so, like, I've picked up other instruments to get away from that, from being restricted in any way. And actually, the interesting thing about this song is that it started with the tempo. Like, okay. I didn't even start with an instrument. I started with the tempo. I was hanging out with a friend, and I asked him, I was like, hey, give me an idea for this song. And I said, pick a tempo for this song. And he picked 111. That's his birthday. You know, yeah. I was like, okay. And so then I started with the tempo and, you know, when you start with different pieces of the process, because the tempo is key, you know, but like usually the way like I would typically write a song is improvising voice and guitar. Right. But then you fall into certain patterns, right? So if you start with just a tempo and then you lay a beat and then you decide to lay some other instrument, like in this case it was actually the cuatro, which is another stringed instrument, which is tuned differently than a guitar. It's kind of like a mini ukulele, a fat ukulele from Venezuela, but it has a different voicing. So then you come up with kind of different sound, a different harmonic structure, because like you're playing different chords than you would typically on, say, a guitar. But so anyway, to answer your question, it is kind of a natural progression, because like doing stuff electronically, quote unquote, in the box allows you to work with like MIDI information more, which is so flexible. You know, because it's just very basic information that's universal, and then you can You know, MIDI information is basically, you know, note, duration, and velocity, which is like loudness, right? You can think of it that way.
Okay.
And then you can put any type of instrument, any type of sound to that. So that's super powerful. So you're really just opened up to making things either really complicated or super simple and just breaking out of any, you know, any thing that might be holding you back in terms of, you know, just patterns that you might have picked up because of your musical ability, because of the specific instrument you play. So, yeah, does that answer your question?
It does. It does.
Okay.
Now, also, we mentioned briefly this Friday, the 4th of October, very important day, the video, right, for Wanna Share is going to drop?
I hope so. Fingers crossed, God willing.
Nice. What do you, how do you feel about music videos? I always ask my musician friends this, and they're usually about split 50-50. They either love doing it, or a lot of them feel it's a necessary evil. Where do you lie on that spectrum?
I actually love it. If I could, like, make music videos every day, I would. Like, I enjoy the process of acting. I enjoy the process of going into character. The thing is, they're quite expensive, you know.
Right.
Not all the time, not all the time. But, you know, it still is an investment more than, say, now at this point I can make music just with my own capacity. So, you know, I don't need to hire anybody. Unless I'm working with other producers, the only person really that I need at this point is someone who to do the mastering. And if I'm hiring, say, like a studio musician to lay some parts down or something, then I pay them. But it's not the same numbers as a music video, depending on the scale. You can make something super simple too, but I don't know how to edit video at all. So, you know,
a lot of your videos are in exotic locales and far-flung places, you know. I mean, they're fantastic. So I imagine that adds to the expense as well, you know.
Well, actually, I think maybe if you're referring to the projects that I've done in South America, I've done some collaborations with – is that what you're referring to? I'm not sure which one.
Well, I was thinking your – what's the deal we've been – pushing this week with the upcoming show. I think Immortal Eye or something like that.
Oh,
you know,
Immortal
Eye. And stuff in that. Yeah.
That's just all
that ain't San Diego.
Most of the stuff in there is just Bay Area and just multiple locations.
Oh, really?
Wow,
it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can be super creative with it. Like, you know, but that's the thing. You have to have the people to work with who know what they're doing and who are willing to spend 6 hours in the rain, you know, or in the fog or whatever, and try to get a shot, even though the lens is getting all foggy, you know, like, you know, I love it though. Like, honestly, it's a more recent discovery that I love it so much. Because as I said, like, it's not something that I can just do by myself, you know, and perhaps that's something I'd like to learn how to do. I've enjoyed collaborating with people, and I've enjoyed people. Yeah. I mean, I love it when, like, you know, other people have ideas and I can just, like, embody, like, those ideas, you know, like that's really fun to me. I think I'm drawn to acting too. So, like, and I have a pretty big head and expressive face, so I'm pretty good at it. I mean, like, do you see it right on my face? Like it's just, if I can, like, go and just do a video or multiple videos for every single song, I would. So, yeah.
That's cool. That is so cool. Oh, it's awesome. And, you know, before we run out of time, I have to mention to everybody, because everybody's like, well, I want to know more about Renee. Well, you can go to her website. We have links up on our show page. And these links also follow the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, we're on all these different podcasting platforms. Now, you can get to Renee's website, reneymusic.com. Very easy to find. R-E-N-A-Y music.com. M-U-S-I-C.com. And also Renee Music on, well, basically Renee Music follows her through all her social media, Facebook, Instagram, etc. Very smart, Renee. Man, I've had bands on. I've had bands and like indie films, terrible because they change the name of the film all the time with different distribution and whatnot. And so they'll have like these weird Twitter feeds and handles and stuff. It's like, what?
Hey,
where did they get
I'm
that?
I'm just as guilty. You don't want to know how many times I've changed my artist name. Like, it's not even funny. Anyway.
Well, you have different personalities that you were different. That's a terrible thing. Yes, Renee, you know, when she's not licking the windows, I'm kidding. But you have different pseudonyms, personas, non-diplumes that you work under. No, are they totally like...
Yeah.
Totally different music that you make under each one of those?
Well, so the thing is, so what I've, this most recent division, I guess, I think I've kind of honed it down to two, possibly three but two main ones. And so there's Renee, you know, Renee Music, and that is more focused on more mainstream and it can be any style, really. But then Rasteria is my other, and that one's been around for a longer time. And I would say that one, I identify more that to the more rootsy, organic, independent, quirky. And also the name that I'm going to be, you know, that I would push, say, if I'm a producer of something but not the artist. Or an engineer of something, but not the artist. That's the way I would brand it, is under Rasteria rather than Renee. Because Renee is me as an artist and also includes production co-productions with other producers, which, you know, with the, with the intent to get out to a more mainstream audience. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Sometimes you need to do that. You know, I did it myself years ago. I had a, I got into the steampunk kick, and I was like, oh, steampunk pop art. I love it. And I was doing, you know, I came up with a whole thing and a whole project. And, you know, that project lasted about 3 months. That's one of those ones that I have in the back burner that I'm like, oh, it's such cool stuff. I really need to go back to that. And, you know, that was 11 years ago. And then
hey,
I had one where
only
I
11 years ago.
Panda. Yeah, only 11 years ago. It's so true. Oh, I gotta buy food for my dog. I gotta paint a lot of main stuff. You know, it happened. I tell you, I had something cool happen last week. I'm hoping I'm at this point because I the majority of my work's commission work, and I painted a lot of dogs and kids. Let me tell you, I don't mind it, but that's the main stuff, you know. But I had somebody last week get a hold of me and they said, hey, I want to do a commission. I'm like, oh, great, you know, grab my little form that I fill out. I'm like, what did you have in mind? And they're like, well, I just wanted Jamie Rock's painting. So, you know, whatever you think, I would just like to use a commission. And I'm like, fantastic, you know, wow. Couldn't believe it. Yeah, I had to pick my jaw up off the floor. It was amazing. I get more of those coming in on. Maybe it's a turning point. No, I'm not complaining about any work. Better to be too busy than not busy at all, I found, you know.
Do you ever put things in galleries or, shop that I've seen a lot of coffee shops. They have like, you know, there's like these collaborations between artists and the coffee shop, and you can,
It's, you know, the problem is when you put stuff in stuff, if there's a charity or something involved, I'm more apt to do that because the reality is what happens is you got to share the piece of the pie. You know, the pizza gets sliced.
Right.
It's but I have some pieces, like, for instance, right now in a local hospital here in the lobby, and it's part of a group show that is going on right now, and you know, that's cool. You get a lot of people seeing it, you know, but I don't know. Yeah. The hospital's kind of weird, though, because in my mind, I'm like, well, I think people are more focused on more important things in a hospital usually than what's on the wall, you know.
Right,
right. But I don't know.
But, hey,
you're
bringing a different energy, though. The thing is, hospitals can be, you know, very sterile places, so, or hopefully they're sterile, actually, on the contrary,
yeah.
But, man.
Oh, we can do a whole show on hospitals. France versus the U.S. Great. I was like, Paris. Fantastic. And guess what it cost me? $5.
What? Nice.
Oh, you know. Yeah. Now, I did a 3-month stint in Pittsburgh. It was considerably more expensive than my.
Oh, my God. I don't even. That sounds horrible.
Oh, it was.
So many ways. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to wheel and deal a little bit there. So, you know. Craziness.
Wow.
Well, Renee, this is fantastic. Want to share? Is Want to Share out now, or is it coming out Friday? Can people buy
it's
it?
It's coming
now?
Out Friday. Yeah.
Okay.
You can pre-order it. Yeah, you
nice.
Can. It's available to pre-order on all the platforms. But it'll officially be released on the 4th. Yeah. So.
Fantastic. And I'll be posting that on all of my social media. We'll be putting it on our Spotify playlist when it drops and everything.
Awesome.
And yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And we're up against the time. You know, the funny thing, it's just so funny. We've been talking for like an hour. And one of the first things I said to Renee,
really?
Mike, yeah, I said, were you good for about 25 minutes, half hour? You're just fascinating to talk to. Couldn't stop. I could go another hour. Our listeners are like, no, Jamie, no. We love Renee. Oh, we've heard all your stories.
Time to move on to
times.
The next activities of the day.
Exactly.
For me, of the night.
Yeah. That's right. You're 6 hours ahead right now. For me, I'm on the East Coast, so you're. Just getting started. You guys are probably just getting ready to start dinner. You know, 11 p.m. I'm teasing you.
Actually, you know, often, yes, I have to say.
About 9 o'clock,
quite late here. Around 9,
That's right. And something else I will say about the French that they have down is they understand club times. So often here in the States, people are like, hey, let's go out to a, like when I used to do a lot of night clubbing when I was younger in my wolfing around days. And people are like, yeah, we're going to hit the club at 9 o'clock. I'm like, 9 o'clock? Don't you mean you're going to get ready at 9 o'clock? No. What are you going to help them take down chairs? You can't show up at 9 o'clock. Off with you. I just don't know.
I mean, the thing is, there's activities to do, like if you want to go out early, you can go out early. There are shows that are early, but yeah, I mean, that usual scene is going to be at night, you know?
Absolutely. So. Just pretend you're a vampire, you'll be fine. vampires aren't going out at 9, 8:30. This ain't happening. Oh, Renee, I've had so much fun. This has been a fun episode. And I'm going to tell you a little bit.
Thank you.
A piece of advice. I said it earlier, but you know this already. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real, real good at it. You know, I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And likewise, this is a great opportunity. And hopefully we'll get to meet in the flesh at some point.
Yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
Be awesome. And I can see some your paintings in real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I can
next time
I'm you.
Anytime. And vice versa, you know, vice versa. I love commissioning musicians for stuff and whatnot because nobody does it. At least my friends don't. You look like a superstar. I commissioned a musician to do an anniversary song for a very good friend of mine from college, for him and his partner. And, you know, they've been together 15 years or something. And I had a friend of mine write a piece of music for them. That's what I gave them for their 15th anniversary. Yeah, kind of different, you know.
That's
kind of
awesome.
Different.
No, I know we're supposed to wrap up, but I have a friend here. So here, two friends, actually, they're brothers. And they've written a song for each of their friends. And produced it. I mean, they're like spoof songs, but they're actually really good in three languages, because everybody speaks at least three languages here, all different styles. And I actually this summer got to have some fun, you know, like helping them to, you know, finish up some of these tracks so that they could give them to their friends for their, you know, for their birthday and other type of, you know. But I'm like, this is a brilliant story. This is a brilliant idea, and it's how many people get a song written for them, you know, besides being.
No, I know. I'm telling you.
It's beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, if somebody wrote a song about me, all of my friends would just get so sick of it, because every time they came over, it would be playing. I would play it for them over and over again. And my parties would have such an annoyed DJ. Okay, Jamie, we'll play it again. Here it is. Jamie's cool. For that 180th time. It's true. Hey, we got to get going. I've had so much fun. Thank you so much for being on, Renee. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. This episode, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. The big one, of course, is Apple Podcast. If you are listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcast, well, hello from the past. Do me a favor, though. Just takes a second. Doesn't cost anything. Hit that rating and review. Keeps us up at the top of the page. And boy, is my life easier when that's the case, when I'm talking to advertisers and stuff. So I appreciate that. You know, I can buy food for my wrinkly dog and keep the lights on. It just all works out for the best. Thank you. And Renee, thank you for being on. You're so cool. You're awesome.
My pleasure.
We'll see you all next time. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.